I'm Judy. I am a compulsive overeater. Assembly Convention, Salt Lake City. A striking woman walks up to me, introduces herself, and says, "Would you like to go for a walk?" Personal histories, family. It was a long walk. Physical recovery. I went to Salt Lake City for a region, traditions and service. My driver was your chair of Region 3. Within an hour, we met her ex-husband. She's currently married to someone else for coffee. I'm wondering about emotional recovery. But he had something to offer that was quite intriguing and intelligent. And then we proceed to a statewide organizational meeting, teaching me how to organize the food in the pantry, how to organize the laundry, and everything else in my life. I can do region work on Mondays. I can do sponsorship on Tuesdays. And I'm wondering about her emotional recovery. She's got it. Emotional recovery. I found that out at her sister's house because when you meet the relatives of your friends, you know a lot more. But when Marla touched her chest for the first time, when we were having a moment, I got goosebumps. Whenever I reach out my hands to her, she grabs my hands and closes her eyes automatically. Spiritual recovery. The woman's stool is balanced. Marla D., Region 3 chair. For a minute, I thought she was going to hop up the side of the stage. Perfection, not present. Ah, yeah, goodness.
Just don't tell any more stories about me.
Tell about your action.
Get up again Sunday.
Oh, yeah, tell them about Sunday.
I mean, she's a hoot and a holler. She's got to get dressed in front of us, also.
Tell us about
tell them about Sunday long.
Tell them about Sunday long.
Oh, Sunday. God only knows what Marla's going to do on Sunday. She claims she's going to fish, but I bet you we get her on a horse also. So as soon as we can possibly leave here, there will be cars helping and Lolly. Lolly is definitely in charge of that. And we will drive 40 minutes to what is known as the Rockin' R. Three-story log house, a pond, horse, one horse, and fishing and ducks, cats to pet, and dog that I suggest you keep your hands to yourself. After you do that, it will all be well. We're also going to eat lunch. This is the important part of the facts. Chicken, roasted, salad, and green beans. And H2O to drink. The whole thing started because somebody said, I've never ridden a horse before. And after you've seen what effort and commitment can happen, I bet you anything she'll be riding in rodeos anytime soon. Now, Marla D.
Okay, people, that is a hell of a lot of entertainment to try and follow up. I mean, what is my higher power thinking? I brought my God blocks up. Okay. Thank goodness. Gonna need that. I have some things in my pockets too. You want to see in my pockets? I mean, you've seen everything. I have my little heart rock from Donna. Where's Donna? Yay. Got, let's see what else. Oh, from Joy, my sponsor, happy, joyous, and free. Okay. These are all things I got this weekend, you guys. I didn't even bring these with me. And I know there's one more in there. This is my 41-year chip. So I've been hanging out with those things today. I am Marla D. I am a bulimic, a compulsive eater, and a relapse survivor. Thank you. So nice to be with my beautiful, precious OA family. Or as I heard today, OAMLY. We have a new word. It's my OAMLY. Don't you like that? I like that. Woo, woo. Yeah. I am an addict through and through and through, and I like to make that really clear up front. That means I have come up with multiple ways to hurt myself and to check out from life on life's terms because life gets lifey. That's one of my sayings, you know? And that means the good news when you live in recovery is that even though I've got multiple ways to hurt myself, guess what? I have multiple birthdays to celebrate. So I like to celebrate on September 9th, all my birthdays. So that's when I got my 41-year chip. I have the 41 years free of bulimia, 38 years in Overeaters Anonymous, 27 years free of compulsive eating. And then I also like to say how grateful I am to be 64 years old at a very healthy, happy body weight, in a very healthy, happy body, and be at peace with who I am and love my body today. Oh my gosh, I love her so much. I really cherish her and want to take care of her today. And that is not something that I am able to do. Last night, Jeremiah got up here and kind of rocked my world with his courage to be so vulnerable. And I thought, you know what? If he can do that, I can do that. So that's why I spent some more time with myself today over what I wanted to share tonight. And I thought, why not right out the gate talk about my biggest fear in life? Why not, right? So, my biggest fear is being seen. Always has been, ever since I was a little girl. If you look at pictures or videos of my older sister and I, she's out there waving around and dancing and wanting to get all the attention. And Marla is hiding out in the background. If people tried to take pictures of me when I was growing up, I would break the camera. I mean, I was really scared of being seen. Being seen was not safe. Being seen was, I didn't even know the word vulnerable at the time, but I knew that the feeling was one that I could not handle. And so I went to great lengths to not be seen. And guess what? I'm 5'9", you know, and dark hair. And sometimes that not e it's just not easy to make that happen. But my brain came up with this thought, my food addict brain thought, well, if I'm either really, really thin, I'll be invisible. Or if I'm really, really big, I can hide. So, you know, those were kind of my two solutions. I do like to say in my story that it's a little different from some of the ones that we hear. And I, one of the many reasons I love Overeaters Anonymous is because we all get to have our own unique story. And I get to have my own higher power. And I get to work my recovery the way that works for me. You know, it is such freedom to know that. So I did not have a food or weight issue as a child or as a teenager. I didn't. I didn't have this thing with food until the age of 16, when I went on my first diet. And it lasted 3 days, and it led to my first binge. It was on pancakes, I'll never forget it. And that pattern, that core piece, weird wiring inside of me, it just took over. It really did. It's the weirdest, strangest thing. And so to this day, recovery for me means I do not diet. I do not restrict. I eat clean and sober meals each day. I cannot do a rigid food plan. If I try and go too rigid or too strict, I will binge. It's as simple as that. And I heard a dear friend in program tell me many, many times, she said, you know, if I'm abstinent, that means I'm guilt-free and obsession-free. Isn't that an awesome way to look at it? And, you know, we know what that feels like to be guilt-free and obsession-free. For me, recovery means I am not thinking about the food and I am not thinking about myself and I am not thinking about my body. I'm living my life. You know, that's what recovery is all about. And, but that started, that 16-year-old experience did start a pattern. And so by the age of between 16 and 18, you know, I got into that weird mindset of, oh, if I could just control this, if I could just control this, if I could just control this. Because, you know, this part of me thought that getting my body a certain way meant that I would be safe and I would be loved. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. I would be safe and I would be loved. It's kind of hell when you're a food addict, though, because, you know, a lot of times the being safe means picking up the food, and being loved means not. It's a vicious, vicious cycle. Okay, so that's my greatest fear, is being seen. So how the hell am I up here, especially after those two acts? I mean, what happened? You know, okay, I do say hell, I'm sorry, but like I said, I'm from Montana, born and raised, born and bred, you know, that's just kind of how I talk. But yeah, so what exactly happened there? And what I realized was that, let's see if I can put this into words. Sometimes I just have to take a little pause. In program, I have a way to deal with fears. In program, I do. In program, I learned probably one of my favorite tools is the fear prayer out of the big book. I used this earlier, sitting back there between Alana and Chuck. God, please take away my fear. Please take away my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. I love that prayer. It works for everything. It works for all kinds of situations. It works for me. Oh, I noticed I'm like literally holding the mic after doing that whole. Did anyone else notice that? I mean, Judy handed me the mic, right? What am I supposed to do with it? Oh my God, that's hysterical. Because Beth back there knows how much grief I gave these people about, I don't put me behind a podium and do not expect me to be holding a mic. I can't do it. I use my hands when I talk. This is not funny, God. This is not funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, so here's one of the cool things in recovery. Yeah, I can make just a total fool out of myself and laugh with the rest of you. I don't know how I went from being insanely, crazily fearful of being seen to being who I am today, except for program. And when I tell people about how I used to be the first half of my life, they just look at me and there is no way. There is no way, Marla, you were ever shy. Yeah, there's no way you hid out in the background. But I did. So here's what happened. At the age of 27, I went to my very first OA meeting. God got me there. And you're going to find out a little bit more about what came before that. But walked through the door, YWCA on a Wednesday night, 50 pounds more than I am now. And I've been 50 pounds more, and I've been 20 pounds less than I am now. But this is what I weighed when I graduated from high school. It's a healthy, happy body weight. So I walked through the doors, 50 pounds. You're going to see a picture at the end. I'm going to show all my pictures then. And I was so miserable. Oh my gosh. I was 100% suicidal, even though my life was great. I could not stop eating. I took my little three-year-old son to 7-Eleven with me multiple times a day so I could get my fix. And I could not stop. And the harder I tried, the worse it got. What is that about? I mean, honestly, why is that weird thing with us as food addicts that the harder I try, the worse it gets? So, you know, one of the things I say today is willpower, trying to apply willpower is guaranteed to make it worse. Guaranteed. Like it doesn't work. So I walked into that room, didn't really know much about it, didn't know the woman who told me about OA, but I got there and I sat down and I listened and I don't know what they said, but I cried. Like, I mean, I couldn't, I was just crying. Like tears are just coming. Okay. And I hadn't cried since I was 3 years old. That was a big frickin' deal for me to cry. My mom was a crier, and I remember at the age of three deciding, I remember this, I am never going to cry, you know, because I thought that's just silly and weak and ridiculous, and I don't want to be that way. But I sat in that OA meeting, and I cried, and I knew I was home. I knew in this weird way that I was safe. How does that happen? And to this day, like right now in this moment, when everything is just going a little bit weird, I know that I am safe. And that is something that cannot be bought. That is something that cannot be manufactured. It's like I either feel safe or I don't. So that began my OA journey. And obviously, that was the age of 27. I'm getting ready to turn 65. So that means there's a lot of years in there, right? So how am I, what am I supposed to share with you guys from all those years? So I decided I wanted to share the very best things. So I'm going to share about the three most amazing people in my life, my two kids and my husband. And then I'm going to share my story of relapse. Okay. So story number one, my son, David, he just turned 40. This might be my favorite story of all time. I was 6 years into my bulimia. So this was from the age of 18 to 24. And when I realized I couldn't diet, I thought, what the hell? Why not try that? Right? Because I can eat whatever I want and I can take laxatives and get rid of it. I really thought I'd found gold because it worked. I thought, oh my gosh, this really works. Well, it does for a while. Yeah. And I'm an addict. Remember that? I'm an addict through and through and through. So within a couple of years, it did take over my life. By the time it came to an end, I was taking 30 plus laxatives a day. Nothing was staying in me. And I could not stop. I could not stop. I could not stop. That is the hell of being an addict. I can't stop killing myself, even though I don't want to. I can't not kill myself. So I'd been married for about 3 months. And some of you have heard this story, but I'll never forget my honeymoon because I'm running around trying to find the closest bathroom because I'm taking 30 plus laxatives a day. Okay. That means shit's going to move, right? Yeah. It's going to move. It was not fun. It was not fun. And you know, I love the laughter. Thank you. And I do have heart issues in my life today. And I'm 100% sure that that's related to 6 years of taking laxatives each and every day and what that did to my electrical system. But I have an amazing higher power. And by the way, I should mention that my higher power has a couple different names. I do love the God word. I've come to love and appreciate the God word. And God for me is grace, order, and divine love. Grace, order, and divine love. That's what God is for me. So when I say that word, that's what I take in. That's what I feel. When I'm talking to God throughout my day, my higher power's name is River. Because for me, nature is very much God. And a river has the strong masculine and the feminine. It's got the river banks. It's got the strength of the water. You know, it can move things. It can make stuff happen. But the water is also just that exquisite feminine energy. And I grew up in Montana and I love big rivers and I love being in the river. So when I'm talking to my higher power throughout the day, I say river. That's the word that I use. So I have a great higher power. And one night, I just knew that I can't even put this into words, that either I had to get help from someone somehow, or I was going to do myself in, right? So this is at the age of 24, remember, newly married. And I don't know who the friend was, but I reached out to a friend and I went over to her house. And she said a prayer for me. I mean, if there's a core message from tonight, you guys, it's like, I can't do this by myself. So unless I reach out for help, nothing's going to happen. So we got on the floor and she said a prayer for me. And she said, Marla, your higher power wants to help you. Will you just let him? Will you just let him? And I surrendered. I surrendered that night. I said, okay, I'm going to let that in. And I woke up the next morning and it was gone. It was gone. It was completely 100% and utterly gone. And it has never returned. And that was 41 years ago, September. Yeah. Thank you. I'll take higher power. I'll take a big clap on that. Now, if you can only imagine, what would happen to your body if you'd been taking 30 plus laxatives a day and all of a sudden you stop? What would be a food addict's biggest fear? Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're talking. It came on fast. It came on big. And then guess what? I got pregnant with my son. Now you got to realize I was living in Provo, Utah, and I was taking birth control. Okay. This was not part of the plan. Newly married, getting pregnant was not part of the plan. But I got pregnant with my son, David, in that first 30 days when my body was going crazy. And for the first time in my life, honest to God, I loved that I was a woman. I loved my body. I loved feeling that life inside me. I love everything about being pregnant. I really, really do. And so when that miracle happened, just took me to a whole different place. Took me to a whole different place. And I've never looked back. And I'm so grateful that my son, who just turned 40, that most of the years with his mom, except for that little couple years that I'll talk about next, that his mom's been in recovery. So, man, what a gift to give my kids, right? Not that I did this, but what a gift that both my kids have grown up with me in recovery. And so I was happy, healthy, free. Happy, healthy, free. Hadn't even found OA yet. And then guess what happened? I still can't believe I'm holding this mic. I mean, I don't know. There's something about it. I feel like I have to go like this, you know? I can't believe I'm making such a fool of myself, but that's okay too. I love you guys. I was really free for a couple of years, and then it was time for me to get a new job, and the job was really scary. I didn't know how to do the job, and it scared the shit out of me. And so my funky little brain, addict brain, said, "You know what, Marla? If you just lost 5 pounds, you'd be fine." Okay, now you guys are going to see a picture. We're going to show the pictures, okay? I was looking pretty damn good. I mean, I really was. I was healthy. I was happy. I was running. I loved my life. All was well. But I thought, yeah, if I could just lose 5 pounds, life would be better. And so, guess what that led to? Anyone want to guess? Gained 50. Gained 50 pounds. So I really, this is so in, such an important part of my story, you guys. For some people, the physical allergy is the biggie. If I pick up that food or foods, I will not be able to stop. For me, it's every bit as big if I say, I'm going to pick up this mindset that if I take control back, then I'm going to be okay. If I pick up that horrific energy that says, I got to control my body and my weight, and that's what's going to fix me, then I'm going to binge. It's as simple as that. And that has been true to this day. So, I just don't go there. My food, my body, my weight, all that is in my higher power's hands. And my higher power takes really good care of me. I don't have to worry about that today. Okay, I'm going to run out of time and I'm only on story number one. So let's keep going. So I gained that 50 pounds. That's when I got to my first OA meeting. Moving on, tell you about my daughter who just turned 30. I was in recovery. Life was good. Life is still lifey, but life was good. And I got pregnant again and I had a miscarriage at 5 months with little Adam. And but I was in a good place. I had my OA friends, I had my support. I walked through that whole thing abstinent, thank goodness. Walked through that whole thing abstinent. And one of the things that came out of that experience, I won't tell the whole story, was that my higher power told me, Marla, you got to learn how to meditate because you don't know how to learn to sit still because you're a workaholic. I mean, because I was a workaholic. And so I had a dear friend who taught me, who told me about a meditation class, and I started meditating. And mere months later, wasn't even a year later after the miscarriage, I'm sitting outside meditating and I hear this little voice inside. And she goes, "Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom." And I'm like, "What the hell?" I did. I said, "What the hell? Am I pregnant?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Why now? Why now?" I mean, I remember this as clear as day. And she said, "Because you're ready to be happy." Yeah. So that's my little Jessica. She's my happy bucket. I talk to her every single day. Love that girl so much. And so that was miracle number two. Miracle number three, I'm going to keep simple if I can. That'd be my man, Bob. Yes, sirree. Bob. B-O-B. It's not Robert. It's Bob. And he's 6'2", and he's a country boy. And he's 73 years old. And I tell you, he's got the muscles of a 16-year-old, okay? He is tall and strong and tough, and he is a manly man. And, So 13 years ago when I decided after 10 years of being single that I was going to go out and date again, remember that thing I talked about, that fear I talked about of being seen? Yeah, well, that's still there. That's still there. When it comes to men, when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to relationships, I turn back into a 14-year-old. And thank God I had a lot of recovery under my belt when he came along, you know. And I did. I wanted to date. I wanted to find a partner. I really, really did. And I was ready for that. I've been single for a long time. But I wasn't prepared for a manly man. Even though I'd said to God, you know, 6'2 would be great because my first husband was 5'11. And, you know, there's some beautiful tall women in this group that will attest to right when you're tall. Isn't it nice to have a tall man? Who agrees with me on that? Right, Jean? Yeah. Yeah. It's great. You just feel so like held, cherished and feminine and whatever when you have a tall, strong man. So God gave me what I wanted. Yeah. Well, here's the worst thing this man does to me. You want to hear it? You really want to hear it? Sure? Okay. Oh my God. So Bob thinks I'm beautiful. Bob tells me all day, every day that I'm beautiful. And I mean, he means it, okay? He looks at me and he's got that sparkle in his eye and he's like, "You are beautiful." I don't know how to handle that, you guys. I have been with this man 13 years now and I am still practicing on a daily basis letting that in. Because what that does to me is like, oh my gosh, this guy sees me. Oh, Lordy. If I stay busy, if I do all kinds of other things that I can be doing in my life, then I can ignore that anyone is looking at me. So, you know, I say that because there's just those primal fears that whatever they might be for me or for any of you, they don't just go away. But my higher power gives me an opportunity. What are we doing? Gives me an opportunity to heal, right? That's what recovery is all about, is healing. And so that means, yeah, I'm going to end up in situations and with people that trigger my stuff, that trigger my, that just bring up what I'm ready to deal with. How in the world do other people do this without the steps? How do they do it without like the stuff that we have? I don't know how they do it. I am eternally grateful that I was led to Overeaters Anonymous at the age of 27. And thanks to the steps and my sponsor, and now my current sponsor who gets to hear about Bob, I'm still married because for the first years, I wanted to run each and every day. So not only does he want to tell me I'm beautiful, he wants to take care of me. Oh, God forbid, I should let somebody take care of me and love me. You know, oh, dear Marla, you have such luxury problems. But, you know, I bring this up to say I really do believe that food addiction is its own thing. And that for me and for a lot of people is very, very tied to my relationship to my body, to my relationship to my emotions, to my relationship with how can I, you know, handle life and other people. I mean, they're all connected, you know? So where am I at, Jay? Checking it. Oh, hell's bell. She's just giving me way too much time. I'm going to have you guys all stand up and stretch and all that stuff if I keep talking. I do love seeing your faces, you know that. You know, I love Beth. I love her so much, and I love Jeremiah and Susan, and I have new friends, Chuck and Alana, and then there's Sue, and then there's, it's like all these people that I'm ignoring. Where's you know who? Oh, right there. That one. I'm going to be telling stories on her next, by the way. Yeah, I'm going to tell stories on her. Since she brought it up, though, I'm going to digress for a moment. My ex-husband, Jim, father of my two kids, when I made my last amends to Jim because of OA, and I had done amends before, but I hadn't really been taught how to do the eyeball-to-eyeball amends, heart-to-heart, eyeball-to-eyeball. So when I did it that time with him, boy, was it different. And he felt it. And we together for 20 years. And when we got divorced, it was a love-based divorce. Do you ever hear about that? It was a love-based divorce. Literally, when we were in the class that they have parents take when you have kids and you're getting divorced, the person who was leading the class had to stand up. She didn't know us. She said, I want you to pay attention to these two. They're obviously really close because we are the best of friends today. We have stayed and are the best of friends. There is so much love there. And he completely recognizes what OA has given me, you know, what's come from recovery. And he keeps growing and healing. And we have an amazing relationship. He even bought Bob's house. He did. He did. When we got married and moved out of the city into the country, my ex-husband bought Bob's house. So my daughter, who now lives with her dad, is living in Bob and I's house. I mean, who could think this stuff up, right? It's amazing. And at the signing, you know, I was there at the signing with them when they were buying the house. Jim looks over at Bob and he says, well, you know, I got the house. You got the girl. I think I got the best deal. Bob didn't agree with that, but that's okay. Oh, my gosh. I've never thought of myself as funny till tonight. It's really this convention. Can we just like say this convention has been so amazing? Amazing. I've been to a hell of a lot of conventions and this one's amazing. And the region chairs agree with me on this. This is not just me. It is so fun here. So thank you for that. Okay, back to the story. I did David and Jessica and Bob. Bob, thank you, you guys. That makes me Bob. I'll say one other thing on Bob, where the massive turning point in our marriage came when my sponsor took me through a very, very deep step 6 and 7. And if you have not done a deep dive into 6 and 7, it's really life-changing. I mean, It went on for months. And I remember the day when my sponsor suggested, I don't have Judy's sponsor. She didn't tell me what to do, but my sponsor suggested that I start doing the prayer in the big book and just pray for my husband each and every day for what he would want, which the prayer that I say for him each and every day now is that he may be happy, feel a sense of purpose, love, and sweetness. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Because I was sure all my pro now, how many years into recovery are we? We're a lot of years into recovery at this point, you guys. Just because you're in recovery a long time doesn't mean life gets simple. Doesn't mean that stuff doesn't come up. Actually, I think that the longer I'm in recovery, the harder I work my recovery. The more support I need, the more tools I need. I'm going to talk about what I do daily. It's bigger than ever, right? And back to Bob. So I said no, because I was convinced that if I could just get out of that marriage, everything would be great. Because I would not have to deal with my fears and I would not have to heal my stuff and my belief. And my belief was so strong that men were not safe. I don't know if anyone else here gets that, but for me, men were not safe. And so God gives me this big, strong, manly man with a huge heart who only wants to take care of me. But for me, he's not safe. So it took me 2 weeks. She said, "Will you pray for the willingness to pray for your husband?" And I said, "I will do that. I can do that." And so it took 2 weeks. And then I felt the shift. And I started getting down on my knees and praying for my husband. I started praying for Bob. You guys are going to get to see a picture of him too. Hopefully, we'll figure out how to do that. And our marriage today is amazing. We just celebrated our 7th anniversary. I chose the day of 9/9/2018 to get married because 9/9 is my big day. It's my birthday, right? So I'm like, let's make that my anniversary. And he knew that. And by the way, my first husband and Bob, not addicts. I strongly recommend that. It's a great strategy. Or addicts in recovery is just fine too. But of course, I'm always attracted to the addict. But thank goodness my higher power put me with a non-addict in both of my marriages. So it's a good thing. And I did start praying for him, and I absolutely 1000% felt the shift. You know what? You got to try out that thing it talks about in the big book. If you've never done it, just try it out. I have to say, that's the first time I'd ever had the need or maybe been so strongly prompted by a sponsor to actually do that. Praying for that person every single day for what you would want for yourself and for them. It actually really worked. So that was amazing. Everybody, stand up for me. Stretch, please. I'm going to get a drink of water. Yeah, you can put that back up because we're going to show some pictures. Just bring the singers back up, you know, the whole works. You guys were incredible. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Oh. Thank you. That's perfect. I'm going to talk about relapse. Okay, if there's one topic in recovery that is the absolute nearest, dearest, deepest to my heart, it's relapse. So, is there anyone else in this room that'd be willing to raise their hand that has been through or is in relapse? Okay, I am not alone. Thank you. Thank you so much. I see, I'm just watching all the region chairs are leaving. I see that. Oh, drink. Go get a drink. Get more to drink, Chuck. Tell Jeremiah and Susan that I saw him leaving, though. It's all good. It's a long night. Okay, let me just pause. How is it? How is it, and why is it that if I can experience complete and utter freedom with the food, that I would ever go back to it? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? So I've relapsed more than once. I've relapsed twice. The first time was 6 years into the program, after a lot of grace and sanity. And my husband at the time just kept saying, all I was doing was going to the Wednesday night meeting at the YWCA, the same meeting, okay? Giving service at my meeting. That's all I was doing. I don't know. I was even putting chairs away, Joy, but I was doing that. And I'd been graced with abstinence from that very first meeting, absolutely graced. Everything, it was taken away. I released the 50 pounds. I was free. And he says, why do you still need to go to that meeting? My gosh, you haven't had a problem in years. And so he wanted to take a class, and it was on Wednesday nights. He wanted to do it with me. So I said, okay, I just won't go for a little while. Don't you dare. Thank you. Dum, da, dum. Thank you. Bom, bom, bom. Yeah. Please, I beg of you. I beg of you. Just stay put. Stay in the rooms. Please stay in the rooms. And so I quit for the class, and I did never go back to that Wednesday night meeting because I thought I was fixed. It took a couple of years, but guess what? It all came back. All the hell came back. The food came back. I'll never forget when I really picked up. I'll never forget it. I'll never, ever, ever forget it. And all the insanity, all the craziness, all the weight, it all came back. So guess what? I really believe it when it says what I have today. What I have today is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. That is the God's own truth. Like, if you hear one thing from me, just take that in. That is the truth for me because I am an addict, okay? And that other crap will start taking over. So here's what got me back. Want to hear what got me back? Because I sure didn't get me back. Oh my gosh, no. Did I think about going back? Absolutely. But I didn't, because anyone who's been through relapse, and especially if you've gained the weight back, you know how terrifying it is to even think about going back. Horrifying. So I'm at an event for my son's school in the evening, Monday night. And a woman comes up to me. Her name's Michelle, and I just saw her a month ago. It was so damn cool. I went to the Monday night meeting, which I never get to go to because I don't live there anymore. And she was there, and I hugged her so hard I thought I was going to kill her, because it was so exciting to see her. This was a long time ago, but she came up to me and she was in relapse. And she looked me in the eye. She looked me in the eye and she said, will you please go to an OA meeting with me? I'm dying. And I can't stop. And so I did. This wasn't me, you guys. This is every miracle in my recovery has come through another compulsive eater, through connecting with another food addict. That's when the miracle happens. It says that in the big book, recovery begins with one alcoholic sharing experience, strength, and hope with another alcoholic. I hope you never, ever hesitate to reach out to someone who's suffering or in relapse. 12-step within is definitely my number one passion. Why are we so scared of each other when we're in relapse? So I did. I went to the Monday night meeting, saw my buddies Dan and Jim and some other amazing people that are still there. And but this time it was harder. This time it was way harder. I had to get a sponsor. I had to actually work the steps. I just thought it was going to work like it did the first time. I surrender, God. Okay, here, I'm going to take it all away. Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way after relapse. Yeah. So I worked the steps. I'm so grateful. And I'm going to go quickly here because we're running out of time. But just to say that my second relapse came years later after doing too much service for too long. Too much service for too long. And so when I stepped down from one position, I stepped out of all of them. Yeah. And then it's really easy to start isolating and not go to my meeting. Because I was very active workaholic at the time. So it's like, I just don't have time this week. You know, so that's what led to my second relapse. And what got me back into the rooms the second time was my angel, Teresa. Some of you have heard this story, but I'm going to tell this story for as long as I live. Teresa, my darling Teresa, she's the one that always used to say guilt-free and obsession-free. You know, I have those angels in program and everything they say just runs through your head over and over. We got Jeremiah gems now. We're starting to collect Jeremiah gems because there were some things that came out of his mouth last night. And I'm like, oh, I want those. So Teresa called me every day for a year and left me a voicemail. I love you. I miss you. Food's good. Life's good. Whatever, you know. It's a 1-minute message. It's a 1-minute voicemail. Any one of us can do that. Any one of us can pick up the freaking phone and reach out to somebody or send a text. I love you. I miss you. I'm here for you. That's what I do now. I love you. I miss you. I'm here for you. You know, because it's just so scary and hard to come back. Okay, is there a way to show pictures, Beth? Yeah, turn the lights down. Because I do love pictures. And while they're doing that, I'm going to say, here's how I worked my program today, because this program works. Okay, it works for me. OA works for me. I am never leaving. I am never leaving again. I am a lifer. And if there were one tool that I had to share with you that keeps me coming back, it is service. It absolutely is service. That's while they're working on. Oh, I kind of like being in the dark. This is fun. You know, for so, oh, how cool is that? I have a fear of being seen, and they've just turned all the lights off. Oh my gosh. This is fantastic. Okay, you know, we all know that higher powers really got a great sense of humor. Yeah, right? We'll just wait a minute, see if it works. So in my life today, I do the 12-step waltz. That means 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. Living the 12 steps is my life today. It's everything today. It is me. It's how I function. Okay? And so, yes, I do a daily inventory. And yes, I reach out to my recovery buddy. And I have this great sponsor. I call her in the morning and leave her a voicemail. She sends me a picture and a word acknowledging what I shared with her. We talk each week. I sponsor. I waited till I retired to run for Region 3 chair because I just knew that if I got to do this service position, I was going to give it my all. You know, I love this fellowship. Oh, how cute is that? Okay, that's cool. That's good enough. Yep, I'm the tall one. Yep. Okay, so I really didn't have a body or weight issue. when I was growing up, those are pretty damn long legs, though. But family of 10 children, I was the second oldest. That's me graduating from high school. Once again, didn't have a weight problem, but I thought I did. Okay, we can just keep going because we're going to go quickly. This is at the height of my bulimia. So that's my first marriage to Jim. I was pretty much bone. As you can see, all the water was washing out of me. So that was my all-time low. Now look at him. That's David. That's my baby boy who turned 40. Okay, this is the body that thought I needed to lose 5 pounds. Yeah. Now that's insane, okay? That thought I needed to lose 5 pounds because that's what was going to make me comfortable with this new job. It's like, oh my gosh, okay, keep going. He's so cute. So there's me at my sister's wedding, 50 pounds later. And that's a month before I found OA. I was as happy as I could possibly be, but do I look happy? No, I do not look happy. Very suicidal. This is me a year after OA. And the reason I love this picture, even though I'm looking very serious there, is because it was taken as I was headed to my high school 10-year reunion. And you got to realize that when I was in high school, I was the shy girl in the, you know, I didn't talk to anybody. I was scared to death of people. So after a year in OA, I go to my 10-year reunion. I talk to everybody. Except for Shanna Sullivan, because I didn't like Shanna Sullivan, so I decided I wasn't going to. But I just went up and talked to everybody. You guys, OA is what set me free. OA is what's given me, you know, all of who I am. Everything great in my life is because of OA. Okay, there's relapse. See? Look at that. How does that happen? It happens because I'm a food addict. And if today I choose to pick up the food, as was so beautifully, brilliantly done in that script, I have no control over what's going to happen tomorrow. And then 50 or 100 pounds later, there we are. And then that's after getting back into recovery. And go ahead to the next one, because I love this one. It's with my daddy. There's my daddy. Now, my daddy, I'll say this quickly. My daddy was a food addict. He gave up drinking when he met my mom, but food was his thing. Up until the day he died, he wanted his ice cream sundae, but it was watching my daddy was one of the reasons I got into Overeaters Anonymous and stayed, because I knew that if I didn't stay, what would happen? Okay. This is kind of fun. There's my family. Check them out. One of my sisters died when she was little, but, yeah, there's the rest of us at my parents' 50-year anniversary. So, yep, moving forward. There's my kids. Now, this is an old picture, but I love this picture because it's my kids, you know, and I just adore how they look in this picture. So there's David and Jessica, and I already said this. Now, here's David and Jessica just recently, about a year ago. Nope, go back. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. So as you can see, from kaboop, 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 kaboop. Try to keep this short. One more. As you can see, food addiction is alive and well in my kids. And that's my son's partner. But I love them, and they know that this program works for me. So there's always hope, right? There's always hope. And I absolutely love them the way they are, but I like sharing that picture just to say that, yes, it's real. Okay, keep going. And there's my bestie friend, Chris, and I like sharing that because I wouldn't have the relationship with her that I do if it weren't for this program. And one more. There's my guy. There's Bob. Meet Bob and his baseball hat. Can you all see him? Yep. That's the country that I live in, you guys. Yeah, that's where I live. I live out in absolute paradise. And look at that man. Can you see how sparkly he is? Can you see how happy I am? Yeah. So the girl who was terrified to be seen It's come a hell of a long way. Thank you. I think that's it, Beth. Let's turn those lights back on so I can close up. That was fun. You guys are great. So this is my close. Every single year, I pick a word. Those of you who have been in the assembly with me now have got to go through this the last two times where I tell them to pick one word. I'm big into that. And so I like to pick one word for the year that's like my theme. And my theme this year, my word this year is alive. Alive. And I chose that because last year I lost my baby sister at the age of 49 and a best friend to this disease. To this disease. And I decided that it was time for me to do my grief work. So I've been doing that. Talk about hard. And that I wanted a word to celebrate that I'm alive today. And that's what I want to leave you with, is being alive today is the most precious gift in the whole wide world. And so if I choose recovery, I get to live. I get to live. I get to have a magnificent life. And if I choose the food, the damn food, then all of that is taken away. So all today, I've been thinking about my word alive, and then we've got our Oklahoma theme. So you want to hear the mantra that came through? Today, I am alive, and only together will we thrive. Today, I am alive, and only together will we thrive. And that's how I'm going to close. Thank you so much. Thank you.